worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you for listening. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Luke chapter 16. The Gospel of Luke chapter 16, starting at verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. Verses 19 through 31, Luke chapter 16. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give us as your children, the people of God, to be involved in the great work of carrying out the spread of the gospel in the world and helping believers to become faithful disciples, teaching them how to walk with you and live for you as well. Thank you for that opportunity, Lord. And Father, more and more we ask that you'd pour out your spirit of grace, mercy, and just the spirit of sobriety upon us today, Lord, that we would be sober-minded about understanding the need for us to be very seriously about our Father's business every day, carrying out the work of passionately, daily being involved in the spread of the gospel, daily being involved in the work of discipleship, helping people to grow up in their faith and to become faithful disciples themselves as well. Lord, wake us up as a church. Stir us to action to know that every day is a day to be vitally involved with the work of the sharing of your word, knowing that people are pouring out of this world every day. And so many don't know Jesus. Help us, Lord, to not be content to live with just a longing to be involved in the wonderful work of the spread of the gospel all over the world so that we can help take as many people with us to heaven as we can. We thank you and praise you for this privilege and blessing. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We want to continue to remind and encourage you. Please call in and share a listener testimony, a listener story with us. We do have our spring share-a-thon coming up right about 2 weeks from today, our spring share-a-thon coming up, and we hope that you'll call and share a testimony that we might be able to use during share-a-thon. If you'd like to share how the Lord has used Urban Family to strengthen you, to help you to become a more faithful disciple and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bless you and your family as well, we'd really like to hear from you. We've heard from some, but we really would like to hear from more that would be willing to share a brief, just listener testimony of how God has and continues to use Urban in your life. If you'd like to call in and do that, we look forward to hearing from you. That number is 1-877-327-5647. Again, that's 1-877-327-5647. Again, a listener testimony. You can call in and share it and allow it to be briefly recorded, and you just may hear your testimony on our upcoming share-a-thon in a couple weeks. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. I want to let you know that today we're sharing on a similar topic, or we're kind of picking up where we left off yesterday. The topic yesterday was heaven and hell and the Great Commission. And today, we're looking at the topic of heaven and hell and the Great Commission, part two, basically picking up as we share more from two different books by the same author, Mary Kay Baxter, a young lady that's a minister and evangelist who God gave her two unique experiences where he, over a period of a number of days, he gave her a vision where he literally took her in the spirit to hell. And she had a chance to have a vision of what hell is really like. And she shared the account. And then after that vision, God gave her a vision of doing this, basically traveling by in the spirit to heaven. And God guided her to share a book on both of these two different revelations. The first one is entitled A Divine Revelation of Hell, Time is Running Out. And the second one, A Divine Revelation of Heaven. And so as we share, I want you to really pay attention. And I want to remind you, one of our goals is to stir and encourage you as a believer to really get serious about the work of being involved in the spread of the gospel. It's tragic that you have too many believers that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. But if you were to ask them, when's the last time you shared the gospel with someone? Many of them would have to say, well, you know, I don't do that. That's what we pay our pastor for, or I'm shy, or I'm fearful. Every believer is supposed to be involved in the sharing of your testimony, the sharing the gospel, giving out gospel tracts, or doing what God would have you to do to help share the life-giving word of God with a dying world. Remember, again, people are pouring out of this world, and it's important that we take this serious, that once people die, again, their opportunity to respond to the gospel is over. So we must be about our Father's business in helping to share the life-giving word so that people can be saved. So we're picking up as we continue to read from the book, the first one, A Divine Revelation of Hell, as we're sharing again the vision that God gave to Sister Mary Kay Baxter as he gave her a tour of that tragic place called hell. Jesus said, hell is real. The judgment is real. I love them so, my child. This is only the beginning of the frightful things I have to show you. There's much more to come. Tell the world for me that hell is real, that men and women must repent of their sins. Come follow me. We must go on. In the next pit, there was a very small framed woman who looked to be about 80 years old. I can't say how I knew her age, but I did. The skin was removed from her bones by the continual flame, and only the bones remained with a dirty mist soul inside. I watched as the fire burned her. Soon there were only the bones and the worms crawling inside, which the fire could not burn. Lord, how terrible, I cried. I don't know if I can go on, for this is awful beyond belief. As far as my eyes could see, souls were burning in pits of fire. My child, this is why you are here, Jesus answered. You must know and tell the truth about hell. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Come, we must go on. I looked back at the woman. Her cries were so sad. As I watched her, she put her bony hands together as if in prayer. I couldn't help crying. I was in a spirit form and I was crying. I knew that people in hell felt all these things too. Jesus knew my thoughts. Yes, child, he said, they do. When people come here, they have the same feelings and thoughts as when they were on earth. They remember their families and friends and all the times they had a chance to repent but refused to do so. Memory is always with them. If only they had believed the gospel and repented before it was too late. I looked at the old woman once again, and this time I noticed that she had only one leg, and there seemed to be holes drilled in her hip bones. What are these, Jesus? I asked. He said, child, while she was on earth, she had cancer and was in much pain. Surgery was done to save her life. She lay a bitter old woman for many years. Many of my people came to pray for her and to tell her I could heal her. She said, God did this to me, and she would not repent and believe the gospel. She even knew me once, but in time she came to hate me. She said she did not need God and did not want me to heal her. Yet I pleaded with her, still wanting to help her, wanting to heal and to bless her. She turned her back on me and cursed me. She said she didn't want me. My spirit pleaded with her. Even after she had turned her back on me, I still tried to draw her by my spirit, but she wouldn't listen. At last she died and came here. The old woman cried out to Jesus, "Lord Jesus, please forgive me now. I'm sorry that I didn't repent while I was on earth." With great sobs, she cried out to Jesus, "If only I had repented before it was too late. Lord, help me out of here. I will serve you. I'll be good. Haven't I suffered enough? Why did I wait until too late? Oh, why did I wait until your spirit quit striving with me?" Jesus said to her, "You had chance after chance to repent and serve me." Sadness was written all over Jesus' face as he walked away. As I watched the old woman cry, I asked, "Lord, what is next?" I could feel fear all around. Sorrow, cries of pain, and an atmosphere of death were everywhere. Jesus and I walked in grief and pity to the next pit. Only by his strength could I go on. For a great distance, I could still hear the old woman's cries of repentance and pleading for forgiveness. If only there was something I could do to help her, I thought. Sinner, please don't wait until God's Spirit quits striving with you. In the next pit was a woman on her knees, as if looking for something. Her skeletal form was also was full of holes. Her bones were showing through, and her torn dress was on fire. Her head was bald, and there were only holes where her eyes and nose were supposed to be. A small fire was burning around her feet where she was kneeling, and she clawed the sides of the brimstone pit. The fire clung to her hands, and dead flesh kept falling off as she dug. Tremendous sobs shook her. "Oh, Lord, oh, Lord," she cried, "I want out." As we watched, she finally got to the top of the pit with her feet. I thought she was going to get out when a large demon with great wings that seemed to be broken at the top and hung down his sides ran to her. His color was brownish black, and he had hair all over his large form. His eyes were set far back into his head, and he was about the size of a large grizzly bear. The demon rushed up to the woman and pushed her very hard backward into the pit and fire. I watched in horror as she fell. I felt so sorry for her. I wanted to take her into my arms and hold her to ask God to heal her and take her out of there. Jesus knew my thoughts and said, "My child, judgment has been set. God has spoken. Even when she was a child, I called and called her to repent and to serve me. When she was 16 years old, I came to her and said, 'I love you. Give your life to me and come follow me, and I have called you for a special purpose.' I called all her life, but she would not listen. She said, 'Someday I will serve you. I have no time for you now. No time, no time. I have my life of fun. No time, no time to serve you, Jesus. Tomorrow I will.' Tomorrow never came, for she waited too long. The woman cried out to Jesus, 'My soul is truly in torment. There is no way out. I know that I wanted the world instead of you, Lord. I wanted riches, fame, and fortune, and I got it. I could buy anything I wanted. I was my own boss. I was the prettiest and best-dressed woman of my time, and I had riches and fame and fortune, but I found out I could not take them with me in death. Oh, Lord, hell is horrible. I have no rest day or night. I'm always in pain and torment. Help me, Lord,' she cried. The woman looked up at Jesus so longingly and said, 'My sweet Lord, if only I had listened to you. I will regret that forever. I planned to serve you someday when I got ready. I thought you'd always be there for me. But how wrong I was. I was one of the most sought-after women of my time for my beauty. I knew God was calling me to repent. All my life he drew me with cords of love, and I thought I could use God like I used everyone else.'" We'll pick up there on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we share from the book entitled A Divine Revelation of Hell by Mary Kay Baxter. We'll be right back.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted healthcare option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian healthcare sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable health care for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
This whole idea of, I'm an independent woman, I got me, I got this, is not something a woman of God should say, or any believer for that matter. Today's society is so focused on self-indulgent that seeking the Lord and His will is so last decade. A life full of purpose and blessings can only occur for those who are like Jesus. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He tells the Lord, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, "There are many plans in a person's mind, but it is the counsel of the Lord which will stand." The thing is, a fulfilled life is one who seeks the Creator of life. To sum it up, don't go after your dreams. Go after what God has called you to do. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
The word glad is mentioned 27 times in the book of Psalms alone. And here are a few verses that include that wonderful word. Listen to the Bible from the book of Psalms. "For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord! How profound your thoughts! The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand. The poor will see and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts live. I will be glad and rejoice in your love. For you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy."
Of Covenant Church, the song, "I Will Lift Up My Eyes." Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're looking at the topic of Heaven and Hell and the Great Commission, Part 2, as we continue to share from two different books by Sister Mary Kay Baxter. Two books written by two different visions that God gave to her. One, the first book is entitled A Divine Revelation of Hell. And the second, A Divine Revelation of Heaven, where God allowed her to travel both to hell in the spirit and to heaven as well. So we pick up where we left off before the break as, again, Christ continues to give Sister Mary a tour through the tragic place that we know as hell. The woman looked up at Jesus so lovingly, so longingly, and said, "My sweet Lord, if only I had listened to you, I'll regret that forever. I planned to serve you someday when I got ready. I thought you'd always be there for me. But how wrong I was. I was one of the most sought-after women of my time. For my beauty, I knew God was calling me to repent. All my life, he drew me with cords of love, and I thought I could use God like I used everyone else. He would always be there. Oh, yes, I used God. He would try so hard to get me to serve him, while all the time I thought I didn't need him. Oh, how wrong I was. For Satan began to use me, and I began to serve Satan more and more. At the last, I loved him more than God. I loved to sin and would not turn to God. Satan used my beauty and my money, and all my thoughts turned to how much power he would give me. Even then, God continued to draw me, but I thought, I have tomorrow or the next day. Then one day, while riding in a car, my driver ran into a house, and I was killed. Lord, please let me out. As she spoke, her bony hands and arms reached out to Jesus while the flames continued to burn her. Jesus said, "The judgment is set." Tears fell down his cheeks as he moved to the next pit. I was crying inside about the horrors of hell. "Dear Lord," I cried, "the torment is too real. When a soul comes here, there's no hope, no life, no love. Hell is too real. No way out," I thought. "She must burn forever in these flames." "Time is running out," Jesus said. "We will come back tomorrow." Friend, if you're living in sin, please repent. If you've been born again and have turned your back on God, repent and turn back to him now. Live good and stand for truth. Wake up before it's too late, and you can spend forever with the Lord in heaven. Jesus spoke again. "Hell has a body like a human form lying on her back in the center of the earth. Hell is shaped like a human body, very large and with many chambers of torment. Remember to tell the people of earth that hell is real. Millions of lost souls are here, and more are coming every day. On the great judgment day, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire that will be the second death." Chapter 3, The Right Leg of Hell. I had not been able to sleep or eat since I was in hell the night before. Each day I relived hell. When I closed my eyes, all I could see was hell. My ears could not shut out the cries of the damned. Just like a television program, I relived all the things I had witnessed in hell over and over. Each night I was in hell, and each day I labored to find just the right words to bring this frightful thing to all the world. Jesus appeared to me again and said, "Tonight we're going into the right leg of hell, my child. Don't be frightened, for I love you and I'm with you." The face of the Lord was sorrowful, and his eyes were filled with great tenderness and deep love. Though those in hell were forever lost, I knew that he still loved them and would for all eternity. "My child," he said, "God our Father gave each one of us a will so that we could choose whether we would serve him or Satan. You see, God did not make hell for his people. Satan deceives many into following him, but hell was made for Satan and his angels. It is not my desire, nor that of my Father, that anyone should perish." Tears of compassion ran down Jesus' cheeks. He began to speak again. "Remember my words in the days ahead as I show you hell. I have all power in heaven and earth. Now, at times it will seem to you that I have left you, but I have not. Also, at times we will be seen by the evil forces and lost souls, while at other times we will not be seen. No matter where we go, be at peace and fear not to follow me." We went on together. As I followed closely behind him crying, we continued. For days I had been crying, and I could not shake off the very presence of hell, which was ever before me. I cried mostly inside. My spirit was very sad. We arrived at the right leg of hell. Looking ahead, I saw that there were on a pathway which was dry. I saw that we were on a pathway which was dry and burned. Screams filled the dirty air, and the stench of death was everywhere. The odor was sometimes so repugnant that it made me sick to my stomach. Everywhere was darkness, except for the light which emanated from Christ and the flaming pits which dotted the landscape as far as I could see. All at once, demons of all kinds were going past us. Imps growled at us as they went by. Demon spirits of all sizes and shapes were talking to each other. Out ahead of us, a big demon was giving orders to small ones. We stopped to listen, and Jesus said, "There is also an invisible army of evil forces that we do not see here, demons such as evil spirits of sickness." "Go," the larger demon said to the smaller imps and devils, "do many evil things, break up homes and destroy families, seduce weak Christians, and misinstruct and mislead as many as you can. You shall have your reward when you return. Remember, you must be careful of those who have genuinely accepted Jesus as their Savior. They have the power to cast you out. Go now across the earth. I have lots of others up there already and still have others to send. Remember, we are the servants of the Prince of Darkness and of the powers of the air." At that, the evil forms began to flee up and out of hell. Doors in the top of the right leg of hell opened and shut very fast to let them out. Also, some went up and out the funnel we had come down. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give to every single believer all over the world to be involved in the wonderful work of the sharing of the gospel so that so many people who are on the road to hell can be snatched off and drawn onto the road to heaven. Lord, stir the heart of every single listener today to want to get involved, passionately and faithfully involved in the work of the spread of the gospel every day, the work of discipleship every day, that you can use us to help draw many people onto the road to heaven. Lord, help us to recognize that all of us can be involved in this wonderful work if we would simply obey your word. You've told us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Lord, help us to have ears to hear and stir us, Lord, more and more to be faithful to every day, just be simply available to be used by you to do this wonderful work of helping others to come to know Christ. Father, you said in your word, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life." Lord, help us to recognize that if we just do our job, that so many people that are on the road to hell can go to heaven. Help us, Lord, to know that our work is so important as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to never take it lightly. Help us to never be laid back in our perspective of doing the work you've called us to do as your church. We thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Again, we just were reading from the book A Divine Revelation of Hell by Mary Kay Baxter, portions from the revelation God gave her as he gave her a tour of that sad place called hell. Now we're turning once again to the book, A Divine Revelation of Heaven, again by the same author, Mary Kay Baxter. This, too, is a vision that God gave her of traveling to heaven. So we pick up where we left off on yesterday. Heaven is a perfect place. Since our Savior is perfect, omnipotent, and eternal, heaven has to be a perfect place. Because he's preparing us a place there to live with him for all eternity, our eternal home will be perfect, too. Nothing will ever mar any part of that heavenly abode. There will never be anything allowed to enter heaven to defile it or spoil it. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27 says, "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Heaven is beyond the reach of sin and sinners of every kind and description. Satan will be forever barred from that heavenly place. Before I continue to read, let's take a moment to pray once again. Lord, thank you for the wonderful place that you called heaven, that home that every one of your children has to look forward to. Lord, stir our hearts to want to do all that we can to do our part, to both be saved and to live for you so that we can go to heaven. But stir us to live in such a way that we'll want to take as many people with us to heaven as we possibly can, to be with you for all eternity in this wonderful, wonderful place that you call heaven. We thank you for the opportunity to be involved in this wonderful work of doing just that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, verses 7 through 10 and 12 through 13 tell us these words. "And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head, on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars, that is, the angelic hosts of heaven, and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Again, Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, verses 7 to 10, verses 12 to 13. That serpent, Satan, and his unholy cohorts will never again rear their ugly heads in the pure and holy climate of heaven. Demons cannot enter heaven. The fallen angels who rebelled against God and who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode cannot return to heaven. Jude chapter 1, verse 6. Nothing will be lacking in heaven. No detail will be left out to keep its environment from being perfect. No matter where we go on earth, no matter where we live or how expensive our homes may be, there are obvious faults and flaws to keep them from being perfect. In contrast, God has made no mistakes in constructing the place called heaven. Its glories, its beauties, its wonders are beyond human powers of description. The indescribable splendor of that beautiful place is wondrous to behold. The combined brilliance of the light of the Son of God reflecting on walls of jasper, gates of pearl, mansions unnumbered, and the beautiful river of life creates a scene no artist could ever adequately depict. Home of redeemed souls. Heaven is a permanent place. No enemy will ever conquer the paradise of God. There will be no crumbling of its buildings, no decay of its materials, no withering or dying of its vegetation. No smog, no radiation will ever pollute its holy atmosphere. This permanent abiding place is an eternal, continuing city. We sing this song written by Hattie Buell, and it says, "A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from him, yet still I may sing, all glory to God, I'm a child of the King." In that incomparable place, saints will find sweet deliverance from all disappointments, heartaches, tragedies, and disasters. There will be no more sorrow or woe. There will be no pain. There will be no more crying. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or nor sorrow nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." The joyful citizens I saw in heaven seem to have come from many different ages and countries. Various nationalities seemed obvious to me. Then I remembered another scripture I had read, Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Employed in praising God. Excitedly, my soul praised the majesty of God. The sorrows I experienced and the grief that I suffered when I saw a revelation of hell now seems so far away. This was a revelation of heaven. I saw entire families together. Everybody was happy, going somewhere, doing something, smiling. A glow graced every face I saw. We'll pick up there on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we share from the book A Divine Revelation of Heaven by Mary Kay Baxter. We'll be right back.
With Chris Brooks.
This show becomes massively significant to you if your desire is to reach people for Christ. Charles Spurgeon would take any topic and drive that topic home in the heart of the gospel. And that's what we need to do as Christians, have enough self-awareness where we can look and say, what's happening in the world around me and how can I leverage this to get people to talk about Jesus?
Get equipped with Chris Brooks.
Join me Monday through Friday at noon Central Time on Urban Family Talk.
I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, the sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time, to know what Israel ought to do. In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for his service. Join the movement at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Why does God's timing sometimes seem so slow? Dr. Tony Evans says it may have more to do with how we perceive time than time itself. He'll explain as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Have you ever been to work and you had a lot to do, or your schedule, even at home, and it was so much to do? You want to know how it was going to get done, and it was just so much to do, it looked like the clock was spinning. And so what did we say about that? Time flies. The clock didn't move. You moved. You were moving so fast and you were doing so much, it looked like the clock was just spinning, 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 spinning. The clock didn't change at all, but your speed hastened the clock without the clock changing. Or maybe you've been at a day when everything was moving slow, when everything was dragging, and it looked like the clock was taking breaks. It took 2 minutes to go 2 seconds. Clock was just moving slow. No, the clock was moving the same. You were moving slow. I'm sure many of you, when you were growing up, it looked like it was going to take a long time to become an adult, to get out of this house. We were dreaming, but why is it taking so long to become 18? Now that I'm old, the clock says, slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down. January the 1st, next day is December 31st. The clock just spinning and spinning and spinning. The clock hadn't changed. It's my relationship to it that's changed. So while God has his fixed time, we have different speeds of movement.
Learn more about the benefits of living in sync with the Savior. Check out Tony's CD series, The Eternal Perspective, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
You're listening to the music of C.C. Winans, the song, Holy Spirit, Come Fill This Place. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Just a reminder once again, if you haven't called in and shared a listener testimony, please do. We're looking for more to call in. We're 2 weeks away from our spring share-a-thon. We'd really like to hear from you. Our number is 1-877-327-5647. Again, 1-877-327-5647. Again, our topic for today is Heaven and Hell and the Great Commission, Part 2, as we continue to share from two different books by Mary Kay Baxter. Earlier sharing from the book entitled A Divine Revelation of Hell, and now sharing from the book A Divine Revelation of Heaven. And again, listening again to the descriptions of heaven is a powerful and a very touching and in uplifting thing to hear. Continuing on, as she shares again of the vision God gave her as he took her to heaven. I saw entire families together. Everybody was happy, going somewhere, doing something, smiling. A glow graced every face I saw. All the saints in heaven seemed to be occupied. They were constantly busy. They spent their time praising and magnifying God. Songs were on everyone's lips. The atmosphere of music was the dominant mood. Eternity will not be spent in leisure and laziness, as some have mistakenly pictured our final destination. We will do more than float on a cloud, strum a harp, or wiggle our toes in the river of life. Our time will be occupied in service to God. Just what the nature of this service will be, we cannot say, but there can be no doubt that his people will serve him. Diamonds for soul winners. I could see diamonds, glittering, glistening, exquisite diamonds, diamonds everywhere, some were as large as blocks of concrete. Some of these diamonds seemed to be for the mansions of those who were soul winners on earth. It seemed that every time someone led a soul to Christ, heaven provided a diamond for that faithful Christian. The Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise, in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, it says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Again, Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. As I stood drinking in the splendor and grandeur of that glorious place, I saw an immense, beautiful angel coming down a path. In his hands he held a scroll which had gold edging on it. The angel laid the scroll on a pedestal table, which was made of a silvery material unlike anything I'd ever seen before. The oblong table literally glistened with light. The scroll had a name written on it. One of the saints picked it up and began to read it. Jesus is the master builder, a saint in heaven told me. He determines who deserves the diamonds and where they go. This scroll I hold is a report from earth of a person who has led someone to Jesus, who fed the poor, who clothed the naked, who did great things for God. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 41 and verse 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set up the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When do we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when do we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Again, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 41, and then verse 46. Room for everybody. The angel repeated the welcome theme to me. Come and see the glory of your God. At the Lord's direction, I'm recording this account of heaven as I saw it. We need to understand that the focus of our hopes and desires should be to spend all eternity with our Lord. Heaven is the land of dreams come true. I'm excited about heaven because after our works and labors on earth are finished, we will leave this earth and go there. God has prepared the city, and Jesus is preparing a place there for those who love him. Perfect communion. Unbroken fellowship between God and man will be completely restored in heaven. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, God paid visits to this earth. After fellowship with him was broken by sin and disobedience, God continued to show his desire for communion with mankind. His ultimate expression of love for mankind was the giving of his own son to die a merciless death on a cruel cross. Through Christ's death and resurrection, fellowship between God and man again became a possibility. Even now, the circumstances of life can hinder our intimate fellowship with God. But in heaven, there will be no more hindrances. We will know perfect fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Fellowship with him will be complete. Heaven is the abode of the living God. It is far above the atmospheric heavens and beyond the planets and galaxies. It is the everlasting home of the redeemed of the Lord, Isaiah 62:12. It is the eternal destination of all the children of God through faith in Christ. You do not need to fear being crowded in a tiny cubicle in heaven that has been labeled a mansion. When the redeemed of the ages are gathered home to glory, there will be sufficient room for all of them to have one of the many mansions, the many dwelling places which Jesus said he was preparing for us in his Father's house. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Heaven definitely has room for everyone. In Revelation chapter 7, 9 through 11, it says, after these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. Again, Revelation 7, verses 9 through 11. Tears in heaven. At one point, I was taken to a particular place where the angel stopped and said to me, God wants me to show you the room of tears. Many times you may have read in several passages in the Psalms about our tears and about how God cares for us. The angels catch our tears and put them in bottles, Psalm 56:8. Many times I had wondered about what this meant. I know that many of you reading these words have cried many tears for your loved ones, your children, your mate, or your family. Especially if you've gone through a separation or a divorce, you've felt that all hope was gone. You've grieved over your lost loved ones. I want to tell you that God showed me a room of tears. It was so beautiful. The angel took me to a grand entranceway that had no door. Looking inside, I could see that the room itself wasn't large, but the holiness and power radiating from it amazed me. Lined with crystal shelves, the inside walls glowed with light. On the shelves were many bottles, some of which were clusters of three and looked like clear glass. Under each sparkling cluster of glass-like bottles was a plaque with a name on it. There were many of these bottles in the room. Then inside the room, I saw a man who appeared to have been glorified. His deep purple robe was very beautiful and looked like velvet. An elegant table, which was made of a rich-looking material and glowed with majestic splendor, was just inside the door. The lavish display I saw astonished me. Books were lying on the table, and they looked as if they were sewn in the most beautiful silk-like material I've ever seen. Some had diamonds, pearls, and lace on them. Others had green and purple stones on them. All of them were intricately made. I thought to myself, oh God, how beautiful these books are. I love books. These books especially appealed to me. They were stunning. As I gazed about, I was overcome with wonder. At this point, the man in the room said to me, come and see. I want to show you this room, and I want to explain to you about tears. This is only one of many rooms like it. I'm in charge of this room. As he talked, a large angel came through the entranceway. The beauty and majesty of this heavenly being astounded me. I noticed that he wore a white glistening garment with gold-edged trim and went all the way down his front. He seemed to be about 12 feet tall and had very large wings. The angel held a small bowl in his hands. The golden bowl was filled with a liquid. The man in the room told me, he has just brought me a bowl of tears from the earth. I want you to see what we do with this. The angel handed him the bowl along with a piece of paper. The note held the name of the person whose tears were in the bowl. The man in the room read the note and then went over to one of the places where the bottles were kept. He read the plaque under the bottle, and I knew it matched the person from the earth who was named in the note. The man picked up the bottle that was nearly full and brought it over to the bowl. He poured the tears from the golden bowl into the bottle. I want to show you what we do here, the man said. Tell the people on earth about this. Then he took the bottle over to the table, picked up one of the books, opened it, and said, look. The pages in the book were completely blank. The keeper of the room said to me, these are tears from the saints of God on earth, and as they cry to God, see what happens. When the man poured a drop from the bottle, one little teardrop on the first page of the book. One little teardrop on the first page of the book. When he did, words began to appear immediately. Beautiful words, elegantly handwritten, started appearing on the page. Each time a tear fell on a page, a whole page of writing appeared. He continued doing this page after page, time and time again. As he closed the book and spoke, he seemed to be saying to all humanity, as well as to me, the most perfect prayers are the ones that are bathed in tears that come from the hearts and the souls of men and women on earth. Then the angel with the rainbow wings said to me, come and see the glory of God. Now we're going to end there. Our time is about gone today. But as we close in prayer, I want to remind you, if anyone listening, if you know you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to give your heart to Jesus so you can miss that terrible place called hell and spend all eternity in that wonderful place called heaven. Would you pray this prayer with me as a salvation prayer or a rededication prayer? Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I confess I've sinned and I've done wrong. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong I've done. I do believe Jesus Christ came into the world. I believe he lived, and I believe he died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe that 3 days later he rose up from the dead so I could be saved. Lord Jesus, right now, in a brand new way, I open my heart and my whole life to you. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Lord, I definitely want to miss hell, and I want to spend all eternity in heaven, that wonderful place called heaven, with you. Save me. Make me brand new. I fully commit my heart and life to you today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, if you pray that prayer, we want to invite you to get in touch with us. My email is jparker@afa.net. or 662-844-5036, extension 381. We'd like to hear from you and send you some discipleship material. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.